Blog Talk Radio.
Every day, except, well, Saturday and Sunday. Every other day except Saturday and Sunday. Today's date, December 27th, 2010. We're in beautiful Washington, D.C. It's cold, it's windy, it's snowy, it's blustery, it's all of that in a bag of wavy Lays, or perhaps a bag of Maryland blue crab. United States of America, planet Earth, third planet from the sun. I'm your host, Dr. C. Robert Jones. All right, let's see, what do we want to talk about first? I mean, there's so much going on. Wow. All right, Obama returns to end-of-life plan. Remember all the talk about death panels and how absurd the left was saying it was, and how folks like Sarah Palin and almost every other Republican, every other conservative, they were just trying to scare people. There's no such thing as death panels. It was just a vast right-wing conspiracy to get you to not buy into Obamacare, the savior of the healthcare system. Because, you know, Obama's mama was in the hospital. And apparently, according to him, his bio, she received substandard care. So Obama developed a chip on his shoulder and lasted all the way into the presidency, and he vowed that he was going to remake the healthcare system so that the poor would be covered and anybody else who needed health insurance. But to do that, he needed to make sure that everybody paid into it, thus establishing a socialist healthcare system like Canada and France and the UK and places like that. So it had to be that way. And establishing a socialist-style healthcare system is starting to take its effects. And that death panel or end-of-life plan that caused so much unease with the American people, well, that was all just a big, big misunderstanding. Apparently not. Folks, kiss your grandmama's old ass goodbye. Yeah, I'm doing a Grayson from Florida. Because what Obama wants your grandmother to do is to die quickly. Yes, that's right. Obama wants your granny to die quickly. And here, I'll explain, because unlike Grayson, I actually have a point here, and I'm not, you know, insane. Apparently, over the course of the Christmas weekend, instead of going through Congress and the Senate and all that, you know, uncomfortable, messy business, Obama signed into an executive order reestablishing the end-of-life plan or death panel. When a proposal to encourage end-of-life planning touched off a political storm over death panels, Democrats dropped it from legislation to overhaul the health care system. But the Obama administration will achieve the same goal by regulation. This is how they get around Congress and the Senate and, you know, that whole messy piece of paper that basically Obama says you can just wipe your little butt with. That, you know, he doesn't need to the Constitution because he can just regulate things with the stroke of a pen. So now we're going back to death panels. So Granny, great Granny, certainly she's done. She can just kiss her old wrinkly butt goodbye. And then next, you and me. I don't know how old you are, but I'm 48. And according to the Obama administration, well, if I need a new heart or a new kidney, maybe to go on dialysis or, heaven forbid, something of that nature, well, there's going to be some panel or maybe even a doctor that's paid by the administration, the government, to counsel me as to whether or not I want to actually live. Or would I like to just, take some meds, take some pills, and just drift off quickly into the night and just basically die without going through all that messy stuff about all life being sacred. And even if you're 70 years old, well, you can still live a very healthy life. Let me share with you a really brief story. Just over a year and a half ago, I underwent gastric bypass surgery. I was around 285 pounds, very much closely bordering to 290 pounds. And I sought approval for the surgery, and after going around and around a couple of times, I got the approval. Well, there's one thing that I remember after visiting my surgeon 2 days before the surgeon. He said that he had once performed surgery on a man, gastric bypass surgery on a man that was right around 69 years old. He was 69 years old, 69 or 70. I forget which one. It was one or two of those. That's pretty old. And the doctor said that he'd performed gastric bypass surgery on that man. And he said, you know, it didn't matter to him whether he, you know, how old the man was, because there was no telling how long the man would live. He could live another 5 years, another 8 years, another 10 years. You know, in the doctor's view, the surgery was completely warranted. Now, this is a 70-year-old man. I was 46 at the time. So, do you think that under Obamacare, that 70-year-old man would get his gastric bypass surgery? Because for me, the surgery cured diabetes, high blood pressure, what else? Sleep apnea, high cholesterol,
and maybe even a couple other things. So, under this provision, the new policy outlined in a Medicare regulation, the government will pay doctors who advise patients on options for end-of-life care, which may include advanced directives to forego aggressive life-sustaining treatment. So, who decides what's aggressive life-sustaining treatment? And what are these advanced directives? I would have to suggest at this time that that 70-year-old dude, he got his surgery just in time, because under these provisions, he can kiss his old ass goodbye too. He's pretty much done. So he pretty much got away with one. Congressional supporters of the new policy, though pleased, have kept quiet. One wonders why. I think it's because they fear provoking another furor over, what the Republicans seized on, the idea of end of life counseling. To argue that the Democrats' bill would allow the government to cut off care for critically ill, which it would. Don't think for a moment that if you're 60 years old, 65 years old, certainly not 70, that there's going to be someone to say, you can't have that surgery. You shouldn't have that surgery. Or to even turn you down. Now, wasn't Obamacare supposed to eliminate all these things? Yes, it was. Obamacare was to, and it's mandated in Obamacare that pre-existing conditions will no longer be, a person wouldn't be turned down for pre-existing conditions. So if a woman who's 60 years old under Obamacare, she has diabetes and all that, and she's covered, why wouldn't she be treated as aggressively as anyone else? I remember a time when I was younger, that there was the idea that was held firmly by doctors and everyone else that I could recall, that all life was sacred. Well, unless, of course, you're an unborn fetus and you're in the womb. Then, of course, you know, you're fair game. Your mama could terminate you at any time. You know, you weren't even, I mean, now you're not even safe at 9 months. I mean, the only time you're safe as a newborn, in the womb, is when you're out and you've got a nurse holding on to you. Other than that, you're fair game from conception all the way to actual birth, and even in some cases there. But that's another story for another time. There was a time when all life was sacred, and that aggressive means to sustain life were taken at all costs. But not anymore. Not under Obamacare. Not under this new healthcare law. Now, the final version of the healthcare legislation, signed into law by President Obama in March, authorized Medicare coverage of yearly physical examinations or wellness visits. The new rule says Medicare will cover voluntary advanced care planning to discuss end-of-life treatment as part of the annual visit. So if granny goes in, or mama, depending on how old she is, for her annual visit, her yearly physical, the doctor's going to say, now look, granny, you know, you're 70 years old, you're diabetic, you're developing cataracts, you slight case of glaucoma. You have an irregular heartbeat, and we fear that you may start to suffer heart failure. So, how do you want to handle this? You know, have you got your affairs in order? You know, I'd recommend you head over to the mortician and, you know, start making some plans, because under our healthcare system today, you know, we're just not going to be able to cover all that. because we got to, you know, we got to ration this all out, and you know, we got 30 million more people we've added to the rolls. We just can't afford to keep you around, Granny, because you know you're not pulling your weight. You know, you're sucking Medicare dry. You know, you're just taking up dead space. You're dead weight, Granny. You know, we're gonna spend $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, $600,000 to keep you alive for another 10 years, and quite frankly, we can't afford it. So basically, Granny's gonna walk out, and she's gonna head right over to the end of life planning station, which of course the government will set up for her, and then she'll be counseled about hospices and, you know, that old folks' home, and you know, maybe they'll let her move in with you. And which would probably, you know, a lot of people do that, so that's not an issue. But they'll send over a nurse, not even a nurse, but one of those folks who work in the old folks' home that's not a nurse. And she'll come over and she'll kind of hang out with, you know, Mama for a while. She'll watch a little TV. She'll hang out. She'll make some of the minor ducats and, you know, split at the end of the day when you get home. And then Granny will quietly pass away, and whatever she's left, whatever cash, of course, that's got to go to the government. So, you're pretty much done. Say goodbye to Granny. Say goodbye to Mama. Because if you don't have any money, and you can't afford to take care of your folks in the splendor that they deserve, in the appropriate fashion, then this new provision, it's not new, I misspoke, this rehashed provision is basically going to send your granny to the box. Now, this is the sad part. The really sad part. Because it's worse than seeing granny check out, you know, a few years ahead of time because the government doesn't want to pay to keep her alive. The sad part is that the Obama administration did this with the stroke of a pen. Without Congress, without the Senate, he just signed it. Because his mama's gone. His grandmother's gone. So, I mean, why does he care? And besides, the evil healthcare system that saw his mama wither away and die, well, they need to pay. They need to pay big time. Because this is the chip that Obama has on his shoulder about the healthcare system. Mama checked out early. She wasn't treated right. So Obama has an axe to grind with the healthcare system. And boy, he's grinding it, isn't he? Now, while the new law does not mention advanced care planning, the Obama administration has been able to achieve its policy goal through the regulation writing process. Oh, yeah. A strategy that could become more prevalent in the next 2 years as the president deals with a strengthened Republican opposition in Congress. So basically, the president will go around Congress. He'll go around the Republican Party that's basically won the House. And he'll go around anybody else he can. Because he'll just sign things into law, which under the Constitution he has the right to do. But is that good? Does that make it right? Is it good for the country? Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Isn't it any wonder that Obama's approval rating is down in the less than 40% range? He is clearly circumventing the Constitution. If he can't get his way through a Democratic-controlled House and Senate, he'll simply do it by the stroke of a pen. But, you know, the good part about this is he can kiss his ass goodbye, too, come 2012. Because so many people will be so disgusted with what he's doing, he'll be run out of office on a rail, tarred and feathered, and they'll send his butt back to Chicago or Indonesia or Hawaii, or someplace where he can just hang out and stay out of the way. And the administration said research has shown the value of end-of-life planning. Yeah, that's true. It is a valuable thing. It's really good when your parents or your grandparents meet with the appropriate representatives and decide where they want to be buried, what sort of service they want to have, and they pay for everything in advance. I mean, that takes a load off of the mind of the person that has to deal with those issues, a child, a grandchild, or a husband, or a wife. It takes a lot of stress and pressure off of them. But why should the government be involved in that very personal thing? Don't you all understand what you have done when you elected this guy? I know a lot of you are disillusioned with him. And a lot of you are all like, you know, this is not what I voted for. This guy is just not doing what I want him to do. We did not sign on for this. A lot of you are like that, and I appreciate it. But so many of you are like standing up for this guy and saying he's doing what he knows is right. I had another person just the other day say to me, He's not responsible for this mess. He inherited this mess. You know all I say about that? $3 trillion. He's been in office less than 2 years, or just over 2 years. And he spent $3 trillion, more than all other presidents combined, and he has nothing to show for it. The unemployment rate has gone up, not down. Now, either he's a brilliant man, and he knows that by spinning us into oblivion, he'll basically bring down the economy and then declare martial law and rule. Or he's just plain stupid. He's an idiot, and he doesn't know how to handle our country's finances in a responsible way. That means he needs to be impeached because he's a moron. So which one is it? Is he stupid or is he a genius for ruining our economy even worse? And then telling your granny that she's got to go. All of this is in a New York Times article. Pick it up, read it. Not my opinion. So, according to the administration, advanced care planning improves end-of-life care and patient and family satisfaction and reduces stress, anxiety, and depression in surviving relatives. Yes, only if those who are planning end-of-life services do it themselves and not have the government involved. Why should the government tell you how to plan your services or when? The next thing you know, they'll be telling you what you can afford to buy. Well, is it the $500 box? Is it the $2,000 mahogany box? Or maybe mahogany isn't the best choice because maybe it's not ecologically sound. Maybe you need a metal box to contain your remains. What will stop the government? When will they stop? This is something you liberals don't really understand. You're not grasping it. But you will. When the Obama administration begins to tell you exactly what you can and cannot do and when you cannot do it, when they start doing it overtly, then I think you'll probably get the point a little bit better. But right now, there's still a lot of you out there who are kissing this man's ass. Adolf Hitler, Mussolini style. You know what happened there. But you can't help yourselves. You want hope so bad that you'll turn to the devil himself and sell your soul for a little hope. And isn't that what the German people did? And so many other civilizations throughout history. sold their souls to the devil for a little comfort. Sheep who need to be taken care of and managed by the government. And where has that worked anywhere on this planet? And don't tell me that Obama's not doing that.
Oh, that's not what he's doing. That's just your opinion.
Okay. All right. You know, folks, you guys are like sheep being led to the slaughter. And I find it to be oddly amusing. Because I have talked to several people over the course of the Christmas holiday who swear by this man. And they repeat the sad and tired and completely untrue mantra that Obama inherited all of this mess. And that he's just trying to bring us out of it. Really? Are you kidding? The administration also cited research by Dr. Stacy M. Fisher, an assistant professor. Okay, she's the one who like does the professor's job when the professor's on vacation. All right? She's doing lesson plans. She's drinking coffee, eating donuts, hanging out at the faculty meetings. She's not doing anything. Assistant professor, are you kidding? I was an assistant professor when all I had was a master's degree and I was going for my PhD. What is that? Who found that at the end-of-life discussion between doctor and patient help ensure that one gets the care one wants. Really? In this sense, Dr. Fisher said that such consultations protect patient and, oh my God, patient autonomy. Opponents said the Obama administration was bringing back a procedure that could be used to justify the pre-withdrawal of life-sustaining treatment from people with severe illness and disabilities. So now what is it? First, these death panels, well, these end-of-life planning, it didn't exist. It was all a careful plot by the Republicans and opponents of the legislation. It was all boogeyman, scare me stuff. But now, they admit that it was there all along, but they just couldn't get it in. And they probably wouldn't have gotten the votes for it if they left it in. So Obama had a plan all along. Well, we'll just leave that out so you know folks won't be all scared. And then later on, I'll just pull out my pen and sign it into law. You fools. You fools. He's thinking. I gotcha. Wow. Now, opponents said that the Obama administration was bringing back a procedure that could be used to justify premature withdrawal of life-sustaining treatment from people with severe illness and disabilities. You're done. A la Adolf Hitler and the Third Reich. What did they do? Talk about it for a moment. If you were old, if you were considered feeble-minded, if you were handicapped, as they call it, I forgot what they call it, something challenged now, then if you were not blonde-haired, blue-eyed, in the best of shape, and extremely young, you could pretty much kiss your ass goodbye. You were done. You were sent off to a concentration camp. or some such place like that, or forced to work at a bomb factory or something. You just fell out and died. Why is the Obama administration bringing into law something that pretty much amounts to euthanasia of our elderly? Don't we spend enough time throwing away our elderly? Don't we, some of us, put our parents in homes, little communities where they sit around and vegetate while watching television? And sometimes they have arts and crafts and watch a little TV, and they have little group sessions, and they basically put in little communities where they go off and die. We do that here in the United States. And Obama's just taking it a step further. Because even those people, when folks put their parents in these places and ship them off, they receive, in most cases, the best medical care, the best that America can provide, as far as my knowledge. They receive good medical care. How about that? But now, once they're shipped off to these little warehouses where they stay until they die, because they're not going back home after that. I mean, they probably won't even ever leave the place. Now, the best care that America can provide will no longer be an option for them because they're too old. And they're a drag on the healthcare system because we've added 30, 35, 45, who knows the true figure? Million other people. And have we added 30, 40, 50, 60,000 doctors? No. Nope. Because a lot of doctors are saying that when this whole thing takes into effect full force, 2014, they're done. They're going to make their money and they're going to go. So most likely we'll have a shortage of doctors and nurses. Basically, we're all screwed when it comes to this healthcare law. The only salvation you and me and Granny have are those newly elected Republican congressmen. That's right. The only folks standing between your grandmother and your mother being shipped off to die somewhere without good quality medical care are Republican congressmen. Imagine that, because they're gonna try to defund this debacle. And if they're successful, and if the lawsuits that are going through in Virginia and the 20 other lawsuits that are going on across the country are successful, we'll be done with this. But if they're not, the only thing that we can rely on is defunding this foolishness. It's amazing to me. The infamous section 1233 is still alive. Patients will lose the ability to control treatments at the end of their lives. And you vote for this crap. You voted for this guy. Wow. This is what you voted for. Enjoy it. While thinking that your grandmother's pretty much done. And in some cases, your mama's. Now, moving on. Because this is disgusting. That the Obama administration would seek to fool us. Well, he hasn't fooled me. I know he's a con artist, a moron. But a lot of you, you think he's God. You think he's Jesus, come back to earth to save us all. Mogadishu, Somalia. Somali insurgents have demanded that Obama must convert to Islam or attacks on the U.S. will come. The irony of this is simple. Ronald Reagan, George Bush Sr., George Bush, George Herbert Walker Bush, W. Do you think the Somali insurgents would make this demand of them? No, because they would get their asses kicked. But Obama is weak. A chump. And so, being that he's a weakling, and even look, he looks like a punk. He looks like he'd just take his lunch money. Even now. If he didn't have that Secret Service detail, he could just take his lunch money. Give me your lunch money, Obama. Give me the keys to that Air Force One, too. But he's a chump. Listen to this. We tell the American president, Barack Obama, to embrace Islam before we come to his country. Wow. Demanding that the president of the United States embrace Islam. Or else. Talk about it. When has this ever occurred in human history? In the history of this great country. Where a group of thugs and hoodlums demand that the President of the United States do anything, least of all, convert to Islam. You know, the funny part of this is he might just do it. Al-Shabaab has not yet launched an attack outside Africa. But Western intelligence has long been worried because the group targeted young Somali Americans for recruitment. About 20 have traveled to Somalia for training, and at least 3 were used as suicide bombers inside Somalia. Al-Shabaab holds most of southern and central Somalia and has the support of hundreds of foreign fighters, mostly radicalized East Africans. Wow. So, we have a group of thugs and hoodlums and suicide bombers who are demanding that the American president embrace Islam. Wow. How is it possible to be proud of this president when a group of thugs and hoodlums, they might as well be the El Rukins or the black gangster disciples threatening the president, because that's pretty much what it amounts to. Wow. I need to touch on this just one more time. This healthcare issue. Because it's just not going away. It's just not. The Obama orders new federal breastfeeding policy. President Obama is asking federal personnel officials to draft appropriate workplace accommodations for federal employees who are nursing mothers. The president issued a memo Monday to the Office of Personnel Management asking for new guidelines to be published when ready. The order is required by the new health care reform law, which mandates new breastfeeding rights primarily for hourly workers in the private and public sectors. But Obama asked the federal government to go a step further, of course, by establishing new guidelines for all federal employees, no matter their status, according to White House aides. So everybody can just walk around just feeding their babies with their boobies out, and I'm sure there'll be some tasteful, proper breastfeeding practices. But why does the Obama administration feel the need to get involved in this sort of thing? Senator Tom Coburn warned Sunday of apocalyptic pain if the government does not change course on its spending patterns. Democrats were whining that the maintaining the current tax base for everyone, rich and poor, would cause the deficit to suffer. Yet, the very same week, they proposed a massive $1.9 trillion omnibus spending bill, loaded with a massive amount of pork. Pork, 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 pork. It was a porculous bill. Folks are just not getting it. We're done. And unless we do something pretty damn quick, we're really done. I mean, really. We're going to be like Greece now. We're going to need other countries to bail us out. You folks don't understand. You think, some of you don't understand. You think that we have money to burn. That we're the richest country on earth. And we're never going to run out of money. It's like the lottery winner. How many times have you heard a story about a lottery winner who wins $50, $60, $100 million? 5 years later, they're broke because they've taken that money and instead of saving some or saving a lot, put it in the proper investment, retirement investment accounts, all that, they spend. And they buy new cars and new boats and new trailers and a house in 20 states. And they buy houses and cars and boats and stuff for relatives. And they just buy, 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 and buy. And they spend and they spend and they spend like the money's never going to run out. And the next thing you know, they're broke. The curse of the lottery winners takes hold. We all know the stories. You've heard them. And that's what's happening to the United States of America right now. People, please, do not misunderstand. This is going to affect you fundamentally. Don't think for one moment that when we actually run out of money and the government starts printing more of it, don't believe for one minute that a loaf of bread is not going to cost you $12 to $14 sometime in the very near future. Food prices are already skyrocketing. You moms know this by now. Food prices are way up. And we haven't even gotten into a major portion of inflation right now. Why are food prices so way up? You say, well, how does that work? Well, what's happening is oil prices are skyrocketing. Obama has not been able to curry enough favor with OPEC, oil producers, and they're raising their prices. And with the price of oil, when that goes up, everything goes up. The cost to get food from one place to another, that's tacked on. Once the food gets to the warehouses and they buy it, the wholesale places, well, they have to pay a little bit more. And so they pass it on. It's like a chain reaction. So by the time the food gets to Publix, Kroger, or anywhere else, that loaf of bread that used to cost you $1.25 is now $1.75. Or perhaps if Kroger believes they can get more for it, they'll charge even more than that. And then that's what's happening. So tomorrow morning, check and find out what oil prices are doing. And that will give you a good indication of where we are in terms of everything else we're going to buy. Because everything is shipped using some form of oil product. And so some of you tree huggers out there might say, well, see, that's why we need to change. That's why we need to not be so dependent on oil. Well, electricity costs money too. It sure does. So what does Tom Colburn have to say about all this? My goodness. He said, I told you the other evening, if we didn't take some pain now, we're going to experience apocalyptic pain. And it's going to be out of control. The idea should be we should control it, the Obama Republican told Chris Wallace on Fox News Sunday. He added, we're not taking seriously the very real and urgent threat that will undermine the standard of living in this country. But Senator Colburn has to realize that this is what the Obama administration wants, chaos. Because as was clearly stated at the beginning of the Obama administration's tenure, the mantra was never let a good crisis go to waste. So a crisis will be created by massive spending by Obama. And then he'll take advantage of that. Coburn said, throughout the interview, he was not trying to scare Americans with his rhetoric on the deficit. He was then asked to give his worst-case outlook for the American economy. He said, you'll see 15 to 18% unemployment rate. I think you'll see an 8 to 9% decline in GDP. I think you'll see the middle class destroyed, Colburn said. And isn't those the folks Obama's trying to save? Excuse me. The people that will harm most will be the poorest of the poor, he said, adding that he believed hyperinflation could contribute to the degradation of the American way of life. So, much like in those apocalyptic movies, remember the one with Morgan Freeman, black president, first black president in the movies? Pretty good one, too. What happened when he was president? A meteor came down and pretty much destroyed the earth. What's the name of that movie? So now we have a black president in office, and he's probably going to preside over the destruction of the American way of life. Imagine that. And it wouldn't be so bad if we had Morgan Freeman as our president, because he seems like he'd probably do a much better job. But this guy isn't even competent. He's incompetent and in way over his head. At a time when we need an experienced president to oversee our economy to get us back to fiscal responsibility and on the right track, we have a neophyte moron. Now, when are you folks going to get it through your head that you can't eat hope? Or when are you going to get it through your head that a gallon of milk, a hope will not buy a gallon of milk? Hope is not going to buy cereal and food for your babies, for your children. Hope isn't going to put gas in your car. Obama has promised both hope and change. Be careful what you wish for, because you're going to get both hope and change. But you're not going to be able to take that hope over to the local bank. You're not going to be able to take that hope over to the grocery store. Let's listen to what hope is going to provide here. Check this out for a minute. Because this is what you're going to get. This is what you're going to get with a little hope. This is what you're going to get with some hope. Obama's hope and change. Check it out.
Joseph took her daughter out of school early Wednesday for this. Her emotions ran high following Obama's speech.
It was the most memorable time of my life. It was a touching moment. Because I never thought this day would ever happen. I won't have to worry about putting gas in my car. I won't have to worry about paying my mortgage. You know, if I help him, he's going to help me.
All right. She won't have to worry about paying her mortgage. She won't have to worry about putting gas in her car. Her name is Peggy Joseph. And she had her two kids. What's going to happen when this woman figures out that Obama has just basically ruined the lives of her children? What's going to happen? It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. She's pretty much done. Because she's not making $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year, is she? It's embarrassing. She's done. Obama's going to pay for her gas and her mortgage. Wow. Obama has sold you all a bill of goods. Let's talk about Obama money.
Let's go to the audio soundbites this week. There's a portion of Jay Rogalski reporting on WJR in Michigan. Two people here in line for Obama cash. Why are you here?
To get the money.
What kind of money?
Obama money.
Where's it coming from?
Obama.
And where did Obama get it?
I don't know. His fans. I don't know. I don't know where he got it from. But he's giving it to us. They help us. We love him. That's why we voted for him.
I sure did. And I filled it out, and I am waiting WJR News. Now, let me put this in.
That's enough to make a black man turn white. Damn. Those are actual people. That wasn't a joke. That wasn't a gag. Wasn't Saturday Night Live. The two people that you just heard, the woman who said that Obama was going to pay her mortgage, she wouldn't have to worry about putting gas in her car. That's a real person being interviewed. The folks standing in line, those are real people. They believe this crap. What's going to happen when it doesn't come true? Obama don't have any money. America doesn't have any money. So what's going to happen when it doesn't come true? Let's try one more. They're going to get it. Obama's going to pay gas and mortgage. Obama's going to get an old lady a new kitchen, a new house in Kissimmee, Florida. Obama's going to get money, give money away. What else does Obama want to do? Check this out.
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
Why would the Obama administration need to have a civilian security force just as strong and as powerful as our nation's military? I'll leave that to you to ponder until the next time we meet. We'll talk about this tomorrow. Thank you for listening. I hope y'all had a wonderful Christmas. And, of course, I hope you have a happy new year. I hope everybody got what they want. And, hey, we will talk again about this craziness tomorrow. All right, folks. Good night.